see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, it is a wonderful day. Hello and welcome to Doing a 180 at 60. Once again, this is your host, author John Takus. As many of you know, I began writing Doing a 180 at 60, must have been 4 or 5 years ago. And besides writing, one of the jobs authors have to do is seek out some publicity, you know, for their really great works of art. So some years back, I went to New York City and met with a bunch of TV, radio, and magazine journalists and writers, and tried to convince them to give me a shot on their prospective shows or their sites or in their magazines. Well, you've probably heard this old adage, some do, some don't, some will, and some won't. Well, one of my early do's, that is show offers, was from today's guest. Besides being the host of Sharky's Pep Talk, which is on healthyliferadio.net, she is also an author of at least, I count 6 books, I believe, including her latest, and this one's called Taking on Aging as a Sport, the Athletic Approach to Aging. But she is a lot more than that. She is a college professor still and a former All-American as well as a former professional volleyball player. In fact, UCLA retired her jersey in honor of her on-the-court accomplishments. She is also a very successful former coach. Sharky Zartman, welcome to Doing a 180 at 60.
Well, thank you, John. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I guess we should probably start with probably the question that everybody asks you first, and that's about your name. Would you, it's kind of unusual, care to elaborate?
Sure. When I was born, my name was Charlene, but my dad gave us all nicknames, and so my nickname was Sharky. It's a shortened, you know, just a fun name for Charlene, but I was always called that. Nobody ever called me Charlene, and so, I grew up just with Sharky. So that's my dad. He named me after a killer fish.
Okay, and I understand that. I think it's really cool to have that kind of a nickname. But you know, I mean, it is an aggressive kind of a name. And do you think maybe that had or came into play and made you into a successful athlete?
You know, I really don't know that it was my name, but I remember that people treated me a little different when they found out my name. Some people would kind of step away or say, what, you know, or, you know, it's so funny. When I used to go down in the water at the beach, my sister would come down to try and get me out of the water, and she'd yell, Shark, you know, because that's my nickname for her. And she'd go, Shark, get out of the water, you know, and, you know, she was talking to me. And everybody's running out of the water except for me. So, so having that nickname, you know, was probably one of the reasons, you know, just one of the reasons why I decided to get into sports and toughen up and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I loved sports when I was young. I was a, you know, young girl who didn't want to play with dolls. I wanted to play with balls.
If they'd have called you Goldfish, I mean, what would have happened then? You know, I mean, you'd have been,
right.
Been Goldie.
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of took a wrong turn during my middle ages. I mean, but you seem to have kept your active lifestyle going from the get-go. What's your normal workout schedule like now?
Well, now I try to get up in the morning and run down by the water. I try to do my intervals, and then I go to work, and I teach 2 classes at the college right now. And then I come home and do, some writing and stuff for my classes and, you know, writing for books and prepare my show.
What classes do you teach? I'm just curious.
I teach health. I teach contemporary health, women's health, and I also teach a power vinyasa class. And then I go to the gym and work out there and do my resistance training and, you know, some treadmill work. And so I work out at least twice a day every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
You must take a day off or so.
You know, usually Sundays.
Okay. Yeah. I take off Mondays, so I know.
I take a day off. But I like to mix it up. So I think it's fun to work out.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good. You know, and speaking of that, you know, I love this quote you put in your book. Your book is called Taking on Aging as a Sport. And you say, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you are?
Right. So how old would you be, John?
Well, I know this one for a fact because my head has got my body so confused. It still thinks I'm in my 30s or 40s.
I know. Okay, I'm there with you.
I very seldom ever feel, I mean, I'm 65 and I just don't, the only time I like being 65 is like getting up in my age classes and the Ironman stuff because it makes it a little easier for me to compete.
Right. I know. But, you know, so many people use their age as an excuse not to do things, not to live. And I think that that's a problem in our society is we kind of have a stigma that, you know, that where we view people that are older as not being productive or not being able to do things. And I think that's totally wrong. And so, yeah, I think we need an attitude change.
Well, you know, it seems that, I mean, and when I first started working out, I had this problem, is that I had no resources to, at 60 years old, to find out what a 60-year-old athlete would do or should do or, I mean, limitations or any of that stuff. And so I really didn't know. I just kind of had to fake it as I made it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Did you have that trouble?
You know what? I think I did have some knee injuries, which, you know, so I wasn't able to play volleyball anymore. So I had to take it down a notch and not play my favorite sport. But, you know, I found other things that I like to do, you know, like John Wooden used to say at UCLA to his basketball athletes, don't focus on what you can't do, focus on what you can do. And I think that's something that as we get older, we need to remember. A lot of us can't do the things that we did in our 20s, you know, but we can do a lot. And we just have to find what we like and what we'll consistently do.
Well, you know,
stay active and to stay happy and healthy for the rest of our lives. I say, let's make the best of our lives. And we can do that if we take good care of ourselves.
Well, that's true. And, you know, actually in my book, Doing a 180 at 60, what I've done is I went back and redid everything that I did do in my younger days. And there's a few things I couldn't do, like play tackle football. Nobody would let me play. And, you know, I'd have done that. Probably got hurt, but that's okay.
Well, good for you.
But once again, I want to talk about something in your book. I just loved your book, by the way.
Thank you. I
learned so much in it, and I never heard of this before. And this is interesting. The third leading cause of death in America is, I got this spelled out, it's iatrogenic disease.
Yeah, medical mistakes.
Medical mistakes. And so that's the third leading cause, or?
That basically accounts for, you know, hospital mistakes, prescription errors, you know, doctor errors, you know, just mistakes. And I think that is a good reason for us to take good care of ourselves so we don't have to always depend upon other people. You know, I mean, when you think about it, when we do see our doctors, they don't spend that much time with us. You know, they take care of what they think they need to take care of. But, you know, being in the hospital, you don't want to be there very much. The hospitals can be a dangerous place.
Well, you know, that's so true. In fact, that's really kind of happened to me and my mom. For her, she was taking two different prescriptions from two different doctors, and they conflicted those. I don't know how that works, but they didn't go with, and almost killed her. I mean, and actually, you know, she was 93 when that happened, and she was very, very healthy. And I kind of believe that actually kind of led to, I don't think she ever recovered, you know, and I think you know, 2 years later, you know, she died. I don't think she ever recovered from that.
Right. And they're mistakes. They're not intentional. But, you know, most of these are human error or people being, you know, just overwhelmed, you know, with their responsibilities as a medical professional. And hospitals are very busy places. And, you know, so, third leading cause. And you won't find that in a lot of the books, you know. But
I never heard about it before, honestly.
Yeah, I'm seeing more. more and more of that. You know, since I teach health, I use that with my students. I say, you know, this is another good reason to take really good care of yourself.
I know, you know, and honestly, I mean, this is a kind of a weird little thing here where you really, I don't want to say you can't trust your doctor, but you should really kind of, after he does or says something to you, you should come home and get on the internet and look at some really, you know, like Mayo site or some of the really good sites that are square.
Right.
And see what the heck they're doing to you, you know?
Right. Well, you know, so many doctors are specialists these days, and they just kind of focus on one little part. But a lot of the challenges that we have, you know, could be, you know, another part of the body or a combination. And so, you know, you gotta ask questions. You gotta be specific about what is bothering you when you go see the doctor, because, you know, like I said, they don't know everything. And most of the time, a doctor is going to just try to alleviate some of the symptoms that you're having.
That's very true.
Most of the time, that means writing a prescription, right?
I do, and I just have to be square and honest here. I don't take any prescriptions at all.
Neither do I.
Baby aspirin a day. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with that, with side effects of prescriptions and taking drugs for the side effects and all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't take anything either. And I'm just 1 year older than you. I'm 66.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know.
Heck, you look a lot younger than that.
Well, thank you. So do you.
Gun. I'll be a dog. Isn't that? We'll see there. We just, you know why? Here's why. I know why, because that leads me into the next thing, which is called the real causes of aging. And the first of those is bad habits. Like smoking and drinking.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times we've done these things for so long, we don't even realize how they're affecting our body. But I think a couple other habits that are even more common are eating poorly, eating all the processed foods that we have out there, which are causing all kinds of diseases now. Probably 70% of all the chronic diseases in the United States are caused at least in part by poor nutrition. And we can change our eating habits, but, you know, it's hard to change something we've been doing for a while, but we can do it. And then also people not exercising. I hear people all the time saying, oh, I'm too old to exercise or whatever. And go, exercise is no longer optional when you get older.
It's not, is it? I try to tell that to everybody I meet, that this isn't like an option anymore if you
it's
don't
not.
Start
using it.
It's not.
If you want to live a healthy life as you get older, you got to work at it.
And you're no kidding. So, I mean, a few weeks ago I had on Gary Taubes, and he just finished a book called The Case Against Sugar.
And, oh, yeah.
Okay, so you probably heard of that. Well, I'm like a real anti-sugar person. I don't take any sugar in that I know of. You know what I mean? It's in everything, right? So if you eat a box of anything, it's probably got sugar in it.
Exactly.
And so I don't eat very many boxes of anything.
Yeah. I mean, most processed foods have sugar, sometimes to sweeten it, and sometimes sugar is also a preservative. It's in bread, too.
I know, and what really cracked me up is in his book, he told me it was in cigarette tobacco, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
so,
I know.
It is. I mean, they can stick it anywhere, so.
I know, and it's. I just showed my health class a movie today by Dr. Lustig. It's on PBS. It's called Sweet Revenge, and my students were shocked. They had no idea how sugar can affect their health and the hormones, the insulin, all that. They just have never heard that stuff before. And so, yeah, sugar's a bad deal.
I believe that, totally. I mean, and I don't know what to do here, but we have to take a short break real quick. And you can find my book, Doing a 180 at 60, as well as Sharky's new book, Taking on Aging as a Sport. That's The Athletic Approach to Aging. And they're both at Amazon.com. We'll be right back.